What's going on, everybody? This is AJ Capasso here from Talking with the Source. I'm here with my beautiful girlfriend, Tammy Lee. Tammy, how are you today, my love?
Doing great. It's been a great day.
Yeah, today's been a really good day. It started off really chilly, though.
Yeah. We're like...
Yeah, it was great. Sorry for a little cut out there. We'll probably have a little issue with the internet right at the moment, but that's all right. But anyway, today we are on live right now on Peripost Network Central on Facebook. Peripost Network Central is a place where we have some amazing podcasts that you need to go and check out. So head on over to Peripost Network Central on Facebook to check it out. And as well as we have an event coming up this October that the registration is open right now. It's Global Ghost Hunt 2025 event. It's going to be absolutely huge because it's completely free. The registration costs absolutely nothing. It costs absolutely nothing to join, to be a part of it. It's going to be with a bunch of different teams and researchers from around the world doing live investigations, live, raw, and uncut. And they're going to be doing it from some of the most haunted locations in the world. So come be a part of it, bring your team, yourself, whatever you have, and join Global Ghost Hunt at www.globalghosthunt.com, which you'll see it at the bottom of the screen, and we will show a video at the end. So, but anyway, we have an amazing guest today. We have an amazing man. He's been a great friend of us ever since we got in contact with him. His name is Father Bob Bailey. Let me bring him forward. Hey, Father, how are you?
Great. Good to be on with you guys.
I didn't have you on. I really appreciate your time, and thank you so much for making time for us, because I know you're very busy.
No problem.
So, babe, do you want to start off with the first question, or do you want me to?
Oh,
yeah, you can start. Okay. So I wanted to ask you, what we have everyone to start off with is tell our viewers a little bit about yourself, a little bit about what you do, and just basically whatever you want to tell.
Okay. Well, I'm a Roman Catholic priest. I'm retired right now. Retired a little early because of some health issues, but still a priest, and which has now freed me up actually to explore more of helping with the paranormal. I don't have a parish anymore and those responsibilities that I used to have. But I've been a priest for 33 years or so, and various places. But I've had an interest in the paranormal since I was a child. And it mostly began with what I call Catholic paranormal, miracles, apparitions, visions, and things like that. But I always had an inner sense of the battle between good and evil, and feeling a calling to be part of that. And so when I became a priest and then learned and came in contact with people in the paranormal, who sought out my help as a priest, I then saw what I thought was a calling within a calling, and that is to help in the area of spiritual warfare, the spiritual battle. And so I've been on different podcasts and different things, but mostly I've been helping people that have asked for help that I can actually get to help them with issues, whether it be deliverance itself or what I call liberations over home or places.
Wow.
It's amazing.
That is awesome. Yeah. That is such great work. And I'm so happy that you're doing that for people, because that's absolutely amazing. And I find it absolutely amazing that you're able to, you know, you had an interest in the paranormal growing up, and then you get into, you know, this clergy work, and then all of a sudden you kind of can't really get into the paranormal stuff. And then when you get out, you actually are able to. And I find it amazing that you're able to now use your work as a tool to help others even further, you know, and I find that absolutely amazing. So that, I commend you, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you. I did it before, but it's just not on the level that I am doing it now. So, and yeah. I'm really happy about that.
That's great. That's great. Fun.
So, I know that, let's see, if I'm correct, you work for, you have your own, the Holy Sword Apostolate?
That's correct. I mean, years ago, I had PWSM, which was the City of Moors of St. Michael. And then when my associate and his family moved to Carolinas, I kind of went a little dormant on that, you know, and just kind of helped people, you know, on my own, on the DL, I guess, just helping individuals. And so it wasn't as organized like it was before. We even had a YouTube show, Confronting the Darkness, and we did things like that. So now I began what they call the Holy Sword Apostolate, and it's an apostolate that's really blossoming and growing. I started out with a group of what I call prayer warriors, and they would be people that have been committed to pray for what I do. And then any cases that come up or anything that comes up, I would ask them to pray, and they would do every day. And then I was able to link up with a priest on the West Coast, Father Ken, and that's when the ministry really began to blossom. We decided to work together, East Coast, West Coast, and to start a network, mostly of clergy, but also of others' expertise to help with that. So it's a big shout out to Father Ken Torres, who's in California. And that's going, that's beginning to blossom really nice. And then we're getting a board together also for the Holy Sword. So it's growing.
That is absolutely awesome.
And then I also have a website for education material.
That's wonderful. There needs to be more education. I think that everybody should be learning all the time. I think it's wonderful. I love Father Ken. I met him a few years ago, and he's been super helpful. He has taken time to talk to me, to talk to many people, you know, just, I don't know. I don't know what I would have done without him a few months ago.
Yeah, he's really, we hit it off from the very get-go. And, you know, we have become besties, and we haven't even officially met each other, you know, in real time, you know, just online. So I'm hoping to be able to see him maybe in August if I go there for a conference. So, yeah, it's funny. We're like the besties. We're associates together, working together, but we haven't physically met together.
You know, it's funny that you say that, because the other host of our show, his name is John Keyworth, and me and him met from being a host on the show, and he actually, he was a guest on the show, and it was funny, me and him became best friends, and we never met, and then all of a sudden we just decided that we were going on a road trip to Montana State Prison to investigate, so I flew out to Denver to meet him and his whole family, sleeping in his house, not even knowing him. It was the most awkward thing ever, but it felt so comfortable because it felt like we knew each other for like 10 years. So I know what you mean. So I wanted to ask you though, Bob, I wanted to ask you, in your work, when you were active, when you weren't retired, were you able to really talk about the paranormal to people?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not frowned down upon.
No, no, not really. Especially because I have a specialized area, and that is spiritual warfare, deliverance, the things that we hold and believe as Christians. So at the time when I first began to do this, I went to the bishop at the time and I talked to him about it. I gave him a book from an exorcist, and he was okay. I never had any problems.
That's awesome. That's so great, because I've heard so many different stories from people that say like, oh, it's frowned down upon, and like they try not to like really like, you know, do it and stuff like that. And so I didn't know how it worked.
Yeah, no, I just, and you know, I don't say much, and you know, the adage that I learned in the seminary is it's better to ask pardon than permission. But honestly, I've talked about it and been no problems. You know, there's others who don't, you know, believe what I'm doing or are cynical about it. That's a different story, but I never had a prohibition.
So now tell me, Father, how would you go about telling if somebody has a either a demonic possession or an oppression? What are the steps that you would take to go and do those steps for people who don't know?
Yeah, part of it for oppression or obsession or that kind, you know, those kind of things for deliverance, basically just interviewing them, asking questions, asking them their history, medical history, psychological history. Asking about, especially if they're sensing things on the outside, in their homes and stuff like that, you know, asking questions, where do they live? Do they live near the source? Do they, you know, how are their appliances that they're using? Are they antiquated? You know, you can check, because sometimes they give off things that can really work with your mind, and stuff like that. And if I go to see them, it's usually I begin by praying, and if they have an adverse effect to holy things, then I know that there's some kind of an issue. And with the bulk of my work has to do with homes or places, and my adage is there's never hurts to bless. So whether I believe them or not, whether I think there's a natural explanation, and a lot of times there is, and that it gives them comfort to bless the home. And so I will do a thorough job of doing that. And, you know, that helps. I've only ran in my experience, one case of someone who's actually demonically possessed. A lot of people talk about, oh, this one's possessed, that one's possessed. You know what, there's criteria for that. And when you come into a demon-possessed, truly demon-possessed person, you know it. You know it. And I was over two hours over someone. And then all of a sudden I began to realize that they were exhibiting classic signs, like speaking in languages. A young lady, and she had just had this amazing strength. All of a sudden, her boyfriend, who was very built, couldn't even handle her. She was blaspheming. She had an aversion to holy objects. And I began to realize, like, oh, wait a minute, this is beyond my pay grade. I need to call the bishop and ask him. And then I did.
I don't blame you. I mean, I've experienced one. I got to sit in on an exorcism, and it was of a younger girl, and she was literally like around 9, 10 years old. And what I saw and the strength that she had, you knew right away that it was something different. It wasn't a normal, what we would call spirit. You know what I mean? It was definitely something strong. And when I felt the strength of her, I was like, oh my gosh, you know, like it was intense. It really truly was. And it was scary. It was a scary moment.
Oh, yeah. And that's why I think a lot of these people who talk about demon possessed, it isn't real demon possession. I mean, it's a sight that you won't forget, and it's not as common as I'm seeing it. People saying, you know, that they're experiencing.
Absolutely. I think the TV has changed a lot of people into doing it for fame now. So like everybody's now possessed, you know what I mean? So it's sad to see that, because it's harder
everybody's
for you
guys. Everybody's an exorcist now. I would never call myself an exorcist. Never. What I am is, you know, my part of my priesthood is the order of exorcists, but we can only exercise that with permission from our bishop, and there's a spiritual authority that's given once you're giving permission out of obedience. So I'm not going to go without that, or else I'm going to be beat up. I mean, because those, you know, you read about Father Gabriel and Martha and true exorcists, you know, that are out there, Father Carlos Martins, and they'll tell you it's a dangerous game. It's very dangerous, and you can't just go in there willy nilly. And you know, I became an exorcist, you know, because I took a course. I don't get that.
I was going to ask that. I was going to ask when you entered the priesthood, do you pick like as you go, do you just you feel led in one direction or another?
Not with that kind of things, but we could use our concentration in the seminary, like for scripture, liturgy, theology, history, church history, different things like that, but not on exorcism or deliverance. No, it's part of our training, but it's not like a whole concentration.
Well, now, for your training, you had to obviously, I would say, observe, correct, another exorcist doing their work?
I have, but no, it's not part of our training. You know, not at all.
Oh, wow.
There's not that many around for every, you know, for every seminary in the country. I myself as a young adult was part of a team. I was not a priest or even a seminarian at that point, but I was allowed to be a part of that, and my whole role in that whole thing was just to continually pray the Hail Mary during the whole thing, and then the next time that I was in the company of that is when I was doing that deliverance, what I thought was a deliverance. And, you know, it was, they were showing demonic signs.
Wow. Now I always wanted to ask this question. Like, I know that you're not obviously supposed to acknowledge it, talk to it, nothing along those lines during an exorcism or anything along those lines. Can you explain kind of what the reasoning behind that is?
Sure. No, I can address it, yes, but never in my own name, because I have no authority on my own as a human being. The demons are wrath. So, you know, when I see things on TV and they're talking to what they consider demons, I'm going, if that was a real demon, you're going to get clobbered. You know, so whenever I go in there and I think it's an evil spirit, like if that's attacking somebody, I'll just say, you know, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you, you know, so I don't ask, I command, but always in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
And a lot of times I use Latin because it gets their attention too. So.
Mm. Is there something about Latin that gets
there is people? There is, even in deliverance, you know, I don't do exorcisms, but exorcists will tell you that the use of Latin is important, and there's some kind of an authority in using that language. So I do incorporate it when I'm praying over a person for who's obsessed or is oppressed, or even over a home or a place. I'll use And there have been times when a person who is oppressed has told me to stop speaking that language. Whatever was in was not comfortable with it. So,
wow.
Yeah.
There's like stages, right? To possession, like obsession, oppression.
Yes,
possession.
There are. But there are different stages of what we call demonic influence. Yes, it could be oppression, which is from the outside, and there are attacks and temptations from the outside. Obsession is when, you know, the person becomes obsessed with the phenomenon that's going on. And so it's their own, you know, their mind or whatever has just obsessed over that. And that can be very dangerous for them too. Then there's vexation, which is physical attack. Could be biting, scratching, whatever. Then there's also possession, which is the full, you know, the full takeover of the body. And then the worst of all is subjugation. And that's when the person willingly gives themselves over to the demon. And when that occurs, there's very little you can do because their free will has consented. You know,
wow.
So those are different stages. And then the most common one is temptation.
I was going to say, what would you do in that serious situation when someone gives themselves willingly over and they want to get out of it? Like, how do they get out of that?
Well, I suppose if they want to get out of it, then there's, it's, you know.
Then it's willing.
It can be help. There can be a help. But usually they don't want to be. And again, it's not an area that I know well because that goes beyond possession, you know, demonic possession. And I've never come into that. But there are people like, you know, like I see website Facebook profiles where people are saying, "Hail Satan, Satan is great." You know, they don't understand what they're saying. You know, and if they're really doing that, then they're giving themselves over.
Yeah.
They are giving themselves over. Yeah. So that's that may be a subjugation. I don't know.
See, people don't even realize that, like, the intent of our words really has a big impact on all the energy around us.
Absolutely.
And I feel like I wish people would understand that more, you know?
Yep. Yeah.
You know?
Intention is everything.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. Oh, man. Go ahead.
So I was just saying, like, stuff like that is, like, you know, you're opening doors that you can't necessarily close on your own.
Correct. I mean, you know, and my pet peeve, and I know I get some flack from it, is I tell people do not use Ouija boards, do not use seances, because they open portals, especially when you don't know what you're doing and you're calling on something that you don't know, understand the other side. And a demon may come through saying, you know, "I'm Uncle Johnny," or, you know, "I'm a little child," or something like that, and it isn't. And then you've opened that door, and now you got to try to find it and close it. And that's not easy.
Our guest we had last week was Joe Frank, and he mentioned, you know, actually the same exact thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's part of the network. He's part of the Holy Sword.
He's great.
Yeah, Joe's a great guy.
Great. And did he told you about the society that he's beginning?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is awesome. And he and so he's asked me to be, and Father Ken to be a part of that, you know. So.
Oh, that is awesome. Oh,
anything for the Warrens. I loved Lorraine. I'm very privileged to have worked with her. So
I was about to ask you, you got to work with Lorraine?
I did. Unfortunately, I got to meet Ed once in the seminary. I was in Major Seminary, and my friend, his parents knew the Warrens. So he said, "Hey, they're giving a lecture." So we got out of the seminary. I don't know how we did it, but we did. And we went down, and I went to their lecture. But then once I was on Paranormal State, Lorraine was also. So I got to work with her a number of times on cases. And it was she was just, it was a blessing to be, you know, to be, work with her and have her as part of my life.
Yeah. How was your time when you worked on Paranormal State? I know I saw a few episodes.
Yeah, it was great. But one thing I can guarantee you is that nothing was faked.
That's awesome.
And yeah, the only issue with those things is, you know, they have to capsulize it into an hour. You know, most of the time, almost all the time, it was never just an hour, you know. It was over a span of days, maybe weeks, maybe a couple of different times coming, you know. I normally always came on at the end. If it was a dark case, I would come on at the end to do a deliverance of the home or the person. But it was great. I mean, Ryan was wonderful. The group, you know, PRS group were great. You know, Katrina, Heather, and all of them. You know, I was really blessed to have that time. And through that, I got to meet Lorraine. I got to meet Chip Coffey. I got to meet Michelle Bellinger. So it really was a door opener for me to make contacts. And I enjoyed the time until, unfortunately, it got to such an extent that, you know, I was a full-time pastor. So, you know, when you have a full-time job, there's...
Yeah.
And some of the things, the cases, I had to be on notice because they wouldn't fully know, you know, if there really was a dark entity. So yeah. I found it being too much, but I really enjoyed the time being with them and learned a lot.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that is amazing, because I tell you what, that was one of my more, like, most favorite, like, television, paranormal research shows that I've ever watched. Like, I
want to tell you, yeah, I'll tell you probably why too. As well, attracted me. Well, first of all, what attracted me was the fact he wasn't afraid to use, you know, prayer, but also because they were so client oriented.
Yes,
it wasn't about getting your fix of haunted places. You know, I mean, we did go to some places for conferences, and, you know, they had ghost hunts and all that. But that wasn't the primary purpose of PRS, right? It was client-oriented, and I think people resonated with that. I know I did.
Oh, yeah. No, I definitely did as well.
It wasn't, like, over-sensationalized like some of the shows you see today.
No, no. And Ryan had to fight for that. You know, there were times they would, you know, you don't always get these great, you know, when you say sensational things that happen, it's not always a paranormal. And, you know, that doesn't sit right with people, you know, with the show. They want sensational all the time.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, they may want to lead it in a direction that, out of integrity, it's not fair. So Ryan had to fight on times for that. And I applauded him for that.
Absolutely. Yeah, I've been trying to get Ryan to come on the show for a while now. I know he was going through some things for a little bit, but he's back on the you know, the grind again with the paranormal, which I'm so happy to see. And he's doing well.
Yeah, I'll be seeing him in May.
Oh, actually. Awesome.
Yeah. Yep.
That could be a great reunion.
It is. Well, actually, believe it or not, we had kept in contact, like, through emails and even a few, you know, phone calls and stuff, but we hadn't seen each other since I had left the show. So what happened was, last year I went to Gettysburg for the Nesper Paracon, and Ryan was there, so we got to, you know, reconnect, and for me it was a very emotional, really great thing. And so, and this time he invited me to go to the penitentiary in Virginia, which I had gone with them before, and then also in San Antonio, Texas. So,
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Take the long ride. Yeah. So, and I also, last year, you know, thanks to Dave Giuliano, the White Hill mansion in New Jersey, I went to that, and I got to meet Katrina and Heather after a long time, and that was very emotional for me.
Wow. I was just going to ask. Yeah, I was just going to ask if you have seen the rest of the cast. That's great.
Yeah, no, I keep in touch with Sergi and his wife, we're friends on Facebook. The others I have not, you know, I have not been in contact with.
That is, wow, that is amazing. I love what Katrina has done with the field as well. Katrina has really done very well as a female paranormal researcher. She is like really excelling, and I love it. I love seeing what she's doing. And
she's
everything
come into her own.
Out. Yeah, she has. And everything she puts out, I love watching.
Absolutely.
Yep.
So, but yeah, I tell you, it's an amazing field. You know, there's a lot of unfortunate, you know, downsides with people faking evidence nowadays and not taking, obviously, it serious and provoking and doing very dangerous things for, you know, viewers and followers and stuff like that nowadays, or for the YouTube. But the whole point of, you know, bringing you on, one of the reasons was to really express to people the seriousness behind what they're doing, you know, this field, and that it's not a joke, you know.
No.
People doing seances and, you know, using different tools that they don't know how to properly use is going to cause more problems, and it's going to be doors that they can't close on their own, leading to people like yourself and Father Torres happen to get involved.
What was that?
Oh, I said it's going to lead to them opening all these doorways that they don't.
Oh yeah, yes, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, and that's the thing, you know, because there's so much misinformation on TV shows that show things. People, that's where they're taking their truth from. You know, that's what they're taking their example from. And, you know, and without a healthy, you know, like, I don't fear evil. I don't fear haunted objects, but I have a healthy respect in that I don't go looking for things. Exactly. And I know how to approach it if I have to. And
yeah.
I don't think a lot of these people do. You know, they're looking, absolutely, you know, unfortunately, for the thrill of it, you know, and I understand that. I totally get it when I was younger. I mean, who doesn't want to hear, go into a haunted place and get activity, you know? It's a temptation, yep, for that, but it also can be dangerous,
yeah,
you know? There are things called, you can get an attachment and bring it home. Well, that's happened.
Now, I wanted to ask you, with the work that you do and obviously your faith, now, have you ever brought an attachment home?
I have not. No, not that I know of.
Okay, great. That's great.
But yeah, but my assistant did. We did it. As a matter of fact, it's one of the scariest cases. And it was actually, they covered it on The Haunted, believe it or not. And you can get it on YouTube. It's called Demonic Seduction. It's on, okay, the Haunted. And we did a case of in the convenience store, and it was a pretty intense case. One of our tech guys got bit in the eye and the forearm like a snake.
Oh, wow.
Bite.
Oh, wow.
And then you know, it was successful. But unfortunately, one of the demons traveled home with my assistant and began wreak havoc at his home. So we had to do a deliverance over him and the home.
Oh, wow.
But you can see that. You can see that if you go onto the YouTube and look under The Haunted, it's called Demonic Seduction. Oh, that's the episode.
Absolutely.
Oh yeah, we're watching that tonight for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, so, I'm sorry that happened. That's very intense. I mean, I can't even imagine what that's like, you know, to have one of the demons come home. But my question about it is, how did you know that it was one of? How did you know it was one of the demons? Did it like have the same similar like signs as what you guys were dealing with before?
No, only the timing of it.
Oh, okay.
You know, that it was right after as we were coming home, and there would be no other reason for that to happen. You know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so
I didn't know if during
and the evidence that was caught was compelling, even at the home. We had another guy, a tech guy, scratched in the back, and and they showed a candlestick moving in the middle of the night on its own. We got that caught on camera. We got a banshee, you know, one of those screaming demons. You can hear it out in the yard, and nobody else heard it in the neighborhood.
Oh my god!
So
that is I would love to see that footage of the candle and stuff. Oh my gosh, that had to be.
It's on there. It's on there.
Oh, is it? Oh, I cannot wait.
Oh, the screaming, the candle, the scratches, all of that. Oh, is on there.
Oh, I can't wait to see it.
Because as a team, because as a team, you know, we film that footage because, you know, we always do those kind of things so that we can refer to them and learn from them. So we gave that to the haunted, and you know, so they incorporated into the thing. So it was, you know, more than just a recreation. It was actual. They showed actual footage.
I can't wait to see it. That's going to be amazing.
For the, like, the actual footage rather than the dramatization.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. Now, tell me, what do you have coming up in the future? Do you have anything coming up in the near future?
Yeah, I've got a few more podcasts, which I find fun. You know, I enjoy it. Because I think it's a great educational tool. And I enjoy doing that. Late the end of April, I'll be going to St. Albans Sanatorium, giving a workshop there. And of course, there'll be, and that's in, I think, Virginia or West Virginia. I don't know. St. Albans. And then in May, I'm going on a road trip, and that will be going to Eastern State Penitentiary. We're also going to, Eastern State, I guess. And then I'm going to New Orleans, and then
That's gonna be
San Antonio, Texas. Yeah.
Oh, that's gonna be amazing. Now, tell me, can people come to the workshop on the first one you were telling us about? The one that's first coming up is there a possibility for people to still get tickets for that?
I would think so. They just have to call St. Albans, and it's the weekend of the 25th to the 27th, or whatever the Friday, Saturday, Sunday is in April. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure they could still get tickets.
Okay, great.
Can you explain a little bit about your workshop?
What I do, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, generally,
without him too much.
No, well, it depending on the need, you know, there are times when people will ask for prayer, like as simple as there was a lady who was being attacked in her dreams. So, she lived maybe 20 minutes, half hour away from me. So she came over and I was able to pray over her and do deliverance and pray for protection over her from attacks on the dreams. And thanks be to God, to this day, she still, she had texted me and told me that things are really doing well. I just did a house that was infested, and it was attacking a couple of people in the house. So I did a deliverance. Actually, part of that will be on Expedition X. I don't know when, but probably in the fall. They asked. Well, they wanted to. It's a funny thing. They wanted to interview me, just to interview me, because they had heard about me. So I said, sure, on deliverance. So they said, we're working on a home in Rhode Island. So I said, okay. So I said, by the way, this is a small state. Could you tell me what town, just what town it is? They said, yeah, well, actually, it's right next to the Conjuring House. I went, "Oh my God, Pat's house." He said, "Yeah, why?" I said, "He's a friend of mine." I said, "I've been over that house." I said, "I've been over that house to investigate, and yeah, there's something there." I said that I promised him I would go and do a deliverance. So they asked if they could film part of it, and I said, "Yeah, fine." I said, "If it'll be, you know, a good witness of what to do." So they did, and I'm assuming that when the final movie of The Conjuring comes out, that it would probably, they'll probably air it around them, because it, there is a connection between The Conjuring house and that house. So
now I wanted to ask what Tammy was asking before. We kind of got off track. She asked before, your workshops, what are, can you tell us a little bit about what your workshops are about and what they kind of like are, what they're for?
Yeah, it depending on the talks. I mean, they may just be giving, I might just be giving talks on demonology, spiritual battle, you know, what to do and all of that. A workshop would be, and I did it at St. Albans many years ago with my former partner there. And we would just talk about what we do, what we do to prepare in the days of prayer. What we do when we get to the home, we set up a little altar, we do prayers of protection, you know, and then the main prayers that we do, and, you know, and going into each room with holy incense and holy water, you know, doing the parameters around the house, burying four blessed metals on the four corners of the property, and then putting salt around there to create a hedge after the deliverance. And so just to do it, and then how to, you know, address, you know, how to prepare, and then how to do the prayers and warnings about don't start doing it in your own name if it's a demon. Yeah. So it's like a hands-on workshop that I haven't done yet. I'm hoping to be able to do that in some places now that we're established again. Yeah. I'm not sure if St. Albans is one, but I'll also be actually be doing it with a shaman. He'll be coming with me. So we'll be talking on different traditions, you know. And I've worked with shamans before.
Yeah. Like you mentioned, like burying like the metals in the four corners of the house. I've heard of other items being buried as well, or used in different practices, different faiths, different beliefs.
Yep. Yeah, I usually do the medal of St. Benedict because it's an exercise medal, but it can be any kind of blessed medal that we do. And what it kind of does is it does is create a hedge of protection, you know. And it's funny that when one of the houses that I did, that house I just talked about, I had him go out and bury the four medals, and he could hear something in the woods behind him. And I said, "What'd you go alone for?" Because it spooked him, but he did it. Wow. But, you know, since then, there's been no activity. So thank God for that. But
that's great.
I mean, there are different things. I mean, I've also now gone, I also have a devotion to the souls. In our Catholic faith, we believe in that there are purgatorial souls, and also that there are some earthbound souls. So a lot of times, what I'll do at every Mass that I attend, that I celebrate, is ask Saint Michael and the other saints to bring me souls that are ready to go into the light, so that by the prayers of the Mass would be enough to bring them. And then after communion, I just close my eyes, I picture the light, and I just ask Saint Michael with his fiery sword to go in, and then to the saint, Saint Nicholas, to bring them, to escort them, and to go into the light. And so far,
that's amazing.
And going to cemeteries, I do the same thing in the cemetery. I go to historical cemeteries when I can.
Yeah, no, yeah, it's crazy that you said that, because when I was taught to actually do it, I was working with a medium for a while. She was amazing. Her accuracy was unfathomable. I've never seen someone with such a gift before. And she never did it for money. She always just did it to help people. And she never wanted to like work in the without like working with the light. She wanted to always work like obviously with the light. She never wanted to go into the realm of what we would call purgatory, that area where the souls need help. So when she met me, she was like, I'm willing to try it to try and help these souls to help you do your work. And when we worked together, I had the same experience that you were just talking about, and the same thing happened. And it was amazing. It really was. To watch them cross over and now have the ability to be able to help them. You know, it's such a good feeling because I've had them come back and actually say thank you in other sessions. So it's amazing. Yeah. You know,
and that's what I look forward to. They're going to be there when our life is ended, and you know, and we it's for us to go. And even those the souls, they can help us. They just can't help themselves. So, you know, they help us, we help them. It's a beautiful doctrine that we have in the Catholic faith called the communion of saints. The saints in heaven, the saints that are on their way, you know, purgatorial souls, and those of us here still on earth. So there's a networking between us, a beautiful networking.
Amen to that. Amen to that.
I just think it's beautiful. I think it just brings me to thinking about like some of the locations that I've actually investigated at and how they have like contracts where they don't want you to like cross the spirits over. And that always bothered me because it feels like they're using them as like a circus act, and it's sad.
I agree wholeheartedly. That's because you have a heart for the real, you know, for the souls themselves. I'm conflicted with that because of that fact, and I'm gonna pray for the souls no matter where I go. I'm sorry.
Me too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I had that happen at Montana State Prison. They told us that we couldn't do that, and I told the lady at the end, I said, well, let me ask you a question. I said, if that was your grandmother or your say son who is trapped in that building, wouldn't you want to let him free or let her free? Would you allow her to be stuck here forever if you had the choice? And then she looked at me and she was like, well, you know, we are a business. And I'm like, it doesn't matter. I said, it's not like these spirits are not going to come back to a location. It's just obviously set them free. You know what I mean? It's like, come on.
That's the problem. It becomes a business. It's not a, that's where it's kind of all going wrong. I mean, every time you turn around, there are haunted locations, you know, and because it's a reality. But I don't know, to capitalize on that, it's tough.
It is. You know, it's hard because I can't do it. I've been asked, like, why don't I try to make money off of this and all this type of stuff? And you know, it bothers me, and I don't want to make money off it. And the reason being is because I have so much respect for this field because of the souls and because of the people that have lost people. It's like, I feel like I'm doing myself a disservice by asking somebody that are out there doing $225 for a paranormal one-on-one or 101 how to paranormal. It's like, are you serious right now? You're going to take $225 from a person to do that? Like, that's just such low integrity in my eyes. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing too. I mean, we believe that sometimes when I go to a house, it won't be an earthbound or necessarily a purgatorial spirit, but a spirit that's already crossed over and with God. Now, don't forget, when you die, you don't have a body, so you're not subject to time and space anymore. If the angels, if your guardian angel, which we believe is before the throne of God always, but also by our side, they can bilocate. So, you know, there's no time or space. So some of these spirits are like guardian spirits, their loved ones or whatever. And we believe, and that's a beautiful thing about the communion of saints too, is that, you know, they're around us you know, watching over us. How many times when a loved one dies, don't we sense them, you know, around us?
Yeah.
So you wouldn't have to worry about that, you know, if like a lot of these castles in England and in Scotland or whatever, you know, they have these hauntings, haunted castles, but those are residual hauntings mostly.
Yeah.
You know, they're there whether you see them or not. They're like a projector going. That's a whole different story than someone who's trapped.
Yes. You know? Yes, absolutely. I agree. I totally agree.
Absolutely,
100%. Yeah. So, maybe you want to ask them one more question before we.
I had a question a second ago, and then it disappeared, and we started talking.
That always happens.
If it ever comes back.
So my question is, Father, is what piece of advice would you give to a person just starting out in this field? If you had to give one piece of advice, what would it be?
Be prepared. Be prepared what you're doing and treat it, you know, if you go into this, you have to have some degree of faith. Whatever your faith is, make sure you're grounded when you're going to do this work and prepared before you go into these things. And because you don't know what you're walking into. And be client oriented. That's all, you know. Be it for the help of people, not for your own glory to feel experiences.
Amen. Amen to that. I totally agree with that. Amen.
Yeah. Oh, so what I was going to mention is, like, I noticed there's a lot of people who are, like, what you would call, like, more like ghost hunters now. You know, they're going into a location, and some of them are doing home cases, which is really scary to me. And they can go in, stir things up, and leave because they don't know how to handle the situation. Whereas, you know, they're not doing any, like, you know, background work before going in, you know, the actual research part, you know, asking the right questions, following a protocol. There needs to be more education on following a protocol when you're going to handle a home case.
Yes. I think you guys. Oh, okay. Are you guys still frozen?
Oh, we're still here.
I am, but you guys froze a little bit. Are you?
Oh, sorry about that. Might be our connection. Apologies.
Okay. Well, StreamYard, I know. I've been on a few different ones, and this happens. It's not uncommon. But yeah, I agree. With home cases, yeah, it's. You got to do your protocols. You got to do, we have with Father Ken, you know, he's got this whole long protocol before we do a case. And it's very comprehensive. And it may seem like it's a, you know, cumbersome, but we got to understand, you know, what the case is that we're going so we can best help the people. You know, and I understand the natural curiosity. I really do. I get it. We all have that. But if you follow the protocols and you get activity, all the better for you, I guess. You experience it. It helps to solidify your belief in the afterlife. But that's not can't be the reason why you're going in. And again, yeah, you're right. It's not for the thrill of the activity and the experiences, especially when you're client oriented. And yeah, how many times does that happen? How many times these guys have gone in with Ouija boards and brought things in, open doors, then we have to go in. But it's not as easy to find the portals, you know, to close them.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I'm
at a housewife still.
Yeah. No, please.
I'm a housewife still. Looking, trying to find out where the portal is, you know, or where the other one is, you know. Once you close one, you may not be closing all.
Right.
Now, Father, how would you close a portal?
Basically, what I do is I just command. I use a prayer command, and okay. I ask the blood of Jesus cover it. And then what I do is I'll sprinkle holy salt or holy water, whatever I have, and place a blessed metal at the place in the place, whether it be the room or windowsill, whatever the area of where, you know, in the vicinity of where it is. It's all intent. So my intent is that it's sealed, and I ask the angels to guard so that nothing can go through anymore.
Yeah. No, that is absolutely amazing. No, thank you for telling me that. That's some great knowledge. Appreciate that. But Father, I wanted to say thank you so much for your time. We truly appreciate you coming on, spreading some knowledge. I wanted to ask if you were available to come on again sometime, because there's so much more I want to pick your brain about. So sure. I would love to have you on.
Yeah. Keep in touch. Absolutely.
Definitely. We definitely will. So thank you so much for your time today, and we really do appreciate you a lot. Keep up with the great work.
Thank you. Thank you. God bless all of you.
God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Wow, babe. So I tell you what, this was an amazing episode. And the reason being is, you know, I didn't know exactly what route I was going to take for question-wise or what way I was going to go with things at first. But I tell you what, the knowledge that Father Bob had was just right on point of what I was going to ask.
Oh, absolutely. So, I mean, his experience, like his vast experience that he's been doing this for quite a while. I mean, I look forward to, I'm actually interested in his workshops. Very interested. I'd love to attend sometime.
Yeah, I would too. It's funny that you said that, because I was thinking that when we were on the show and he said it, and I was thinking, well, where was that, you know, workshop at?
Right.
But yeah, that's great. So I hope everyone enjoyed this show. We had a great time with Father Bob. And if you ever need anything, reach out to him. Father Bob Bailey, you can find him on Facebook. You can probably find him on all social medias. But definitely check out his page. Become friends on me. Great heart. And he's done some amazing things. More amazing things. I know it. Because of the people and network that he works with are just amazing group of people.
Absolutely. And we're definitely checking out that episode of A Haunted tonight.
Oh, 110%. We're about to go check it out right now. All right, guys. Thank you so much for watching another episode of Talking with the Source. And also thank you to everyone listening at home on podcast listening platforms like Spotify, Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, and all of those great ones. So thank you guys so much for your support, like I said, and we truly appreciate you. Again, I'm AJ, this is Tammy, and we are signing off. Later.
Now, this is the area where apparently you can hear the whistling of Art, or Arthur, the man that died of a heart attack, constructing this part of the lift locks.
Lit up, unless we went back, we actually went right down there. It's just trees. Biggest animal we're gonna get in here is a badger or a fox. Deer, potentially, yeah. But if it was a deer, we'd be seeing it.
Did you live here?